Hear me and rejoice. You have had the privilege of viewing the cinematic achievement Avengers Infinity War, orchestrated by the great Kevin Feige. You may think that this is just another movie. No, it is a blockbuster. The Universal box office tips towards dominance of the market share because of Marvel Studios. Smile, because even in not viewing this film, you have all become children of Feige.
I know what it's like to see a superhero movie, to feel so desperately that none shall top the last, yet to be proven wrong nonetheless. As Precell turns the legs to jelly, ask you what end. Dread the crowds, run from the spoilers. Record-setting weekends still arrive, all the same. And now it's here. Or should I say, our special podcast review is, this is Avengers Infinity War. This is the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ago, a small film called Iron Man opened a whole universe that we never knew we wanted. Now, 10 years later, we arrived at its culmination or near culmination. This is the special edition podcast review for Marvel's The Avengers Infinity War. This will be full of spoilers.
If you have
not seen the movie, I urge you to press pause. Go buy yourself a ticket or cam it. I don't care what you do. And watch this movie, for you do not want this spoiled. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. The Marvelous Iggy. Joining me are my generals in leading the assault against, I don't know who, the DC assholes who can't make a good movie.
Let's just say David S. Goyer and be done with it.
There you go, against David S. Goyer.
No, he joining can make me, good movies, but, you know, he just lately.
Joining me first is my own Black Dwarf, Taser. Taser.
Also, I'm entry now? What the fuck?
Oh, shit. That was magical. We can all go home now. This podcast is over. That's all.
Hold on.
Just
excuse me while I pull the giant arrow out of my back. What the fuck, man?
Joining me next is our own Proxima Midnight, because I can't think of the other character's name. Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Oh, yes. I finally had to recover from getting, you know, potentially... you know, snapped out of existence a couple of times the last few episodes. So Thanos missed me this time, bitch. Come on, grape jelly. Come on.
Grape jelly.
You should call them Grimace.
Wow. Oh, yeah, well.
Same difference.
Balls
joining, finally joining us, my very own Ebony Maw, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
I'm Squidward. Thank you very much.
That got a bigger laugh than I intended. So,
yeah.
Once again, this is a podcast dedicated to Avengers Infinity War. If you do not like spoilers, do not. If you do not want this film to be spoiled, why the fuck are you listening anyways? Unless you're that kind of, what is that? What is that person who likes to
masochist?
You're a masochist, yeah. But you can't be mad because I gave several spoiler warnings. But let's get right into it.
Wait, hold on. Somebody, whoever's out there, do us all a favor and find Michael Hyde and... send him our podcast and make sure he listens to it without having seen the movie. Because he made a big deal about staying away from Facebook, you know, because he didn't want it ruined for himself.
Okay, there's an image going around social media. It's the Avengers spoiler without context thing. Have you guys seen that?
I've seen that.
Yeah, that was.
I had a girl on my friends list come after me and be like, "That's still spoilers if you read the comic book." And I'm like, "But then you've read the comic book. What the fuck are you coming at me for with that bullshit?" Like, Jesus! So if you read the book, you read the book.
Let's get right into this. Taser, you're the cynical man. You're the man who hates everything. You're the old guy who holds on to the old guard, who wishes everything like it was back in 1955, minus the racism. What did you think of Infinity War?
All right, I'm gonna be honest here. I both liked it and hated it.
Okay, that's not a bad thing. Let's dive into that.
Working within the constraints that the MCU has forced, that they've been forced to work with because they haven't done a whole lot aside from introduce this, that, and the other character, they did a kind of decent job in telling this story. But since all four of us are comic fans, and I figure all four of us have read Infinity Gauntlet.
Of course.
I can't wait to see the literary.
The purist reaction?
No. The literary backflips and somersaults that the Russo brothers are going to have to pull off in two in order to come up with, you know, the Thanos loss, which however they play it off, whether he just kind of goes, huh, what? Oh, and it fell off. Or whether they use Nebula to just kind of, and she takes it off his hand. Or whatever they do, you know. Because remember, the original miniseries had freaking Surfer in it, had Cosmics, freaking Mephisto was there. You know, there's a lot of characters that were fairly.
Yeah, it was drawn by George Perez, so it's gonna have a lot of characters.
No, wait, that was Ron Lim. Perez left to do War of the
Gods. George Perez drew the first three issues.
Yeah,
Ron Lim
gave him an afterward. You know, War of the Gods. There you go. That's what he did. Perez, you dumbass. Anyway, but you know, suffice to say, I really want to see what kind of backflips they do to end this because yeah, they lost a great chunk of, you know, their fighting force. Freaking Tony and who was it? Nebula, and I think not Batista. A couple of them got left on that freaking planet.
Just Nebula and Tony. Everyone else died. The Guardian, the three got swept away, and so did Doc Strange.
You know that that's a shit. I'm actually curious to see how they pulled that off. But the purist in me is disappointed because we spent so much time in twos and threes for various characters. Or actually, not even then, that they've decided to do this story so soon. I would have done this a lot later. I really would have. I mean, they mentioned in passing that Thanos took out the Nova Corps. You know, he destroyed Xandar because that's how he got the...
Yeah, fucking off-screen, they get decimated. Yeah,
they had Annihilation and didn't bother to film it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's that work that I'm actually curious to see. What they did here, I give them a nod for because it's not easy to pull off, you know, them fighting somebody who's basically God. But I'm also aware of...
He brings crosses and everything.
No, that was in Marvel Universe The End. If you pay attention to Thanos in this movie, after he's got like about four or five of the gems, he stops really using it. You know, it's more or less him being, you know, kind of brutish and punching things and going, and everything else like that. And when he does use it, like when he turned... Bruce in the Hulkbuster armor, which was an interesting thing there. That was kind of cool. He phases him into that rock, and he does that thing with the Mantis, where she's all like stringy, and the same thing with Batista, where he's turned into some bit of weirdness. But then when he leaves, they all turn back to normal. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, what? Anything that a person does with the gauntlet stays because he's affected reality. There's no temporary effect, and I know this is done because, well, they don't want to get rid of the character so soon, but still, it's just kind of, you know? So, really, I'm disappointed that we're doing this movie so soon with so many characters missing. Even if we'd have waited until, like, the Nova Corps and, I don't know, Sentry or so, even though Sentry wasn't in, you know, IG proper. There isn't even any Celestials, man. They don't have the Stranger, you know.
They have the Collector.
Actually, no, they don't. That was what you call it? And
Reality Stone.
You know, I mean, where was Jeff Goldblum? There's no Cosmics here. They didn't even bother to give us freaking Watchers. They didn't even bother.
I thought that person that showed up at the Soul Stone was going to be a Watcher. I legitimately thought they were going to drop a Uatu on us, and then I'm just like, oh, it's not Uatu.
Yeah. Actually, that was a hell of a cameo. Like I told John online, I was, oh, shit, I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming at all. That was well.
Yeah, no, done. that was something way out of left field. I never thought they'd actually.
They finally answered that fucking question, and I give them credit for that. But yeah, I liked the movie. I really did like the movie. I will recommend the movie. But as the fan, I'm disappointed because I'm looking at the lowball for how they doing this movie. You know, and I mean, there's no other way to really look at it. This is Infinity Gauntlet lowball. You know, so two thumbs up. Don't get me wrong, two thumbs up, but I am disappointed. You know, that's really the best way I can put it.
All right. Okay. Cynical Old Man number two, Jonathan. What did you think?
I'm quite the opposite of Taser. In fact, this was the reverse of a.
Was that a black comment?
No, but if you don't hush up, I'll toss a watermelon at you and make you pick cotton. Now, come on.
Damn you.
You started it, so come on. But, as I was joking with everybody offline, I was saying how the first couple of minutes of Infinity War was like Ragnarok, the apology, just totally destroyed everybody. And, you know, I was like, and they made Thor a badass again. I was like, oh, thank God. Knowing that they, you know, I knew they weren't going to do a 100% literal translation from the comics to the movie because that was just, that they wouldn't have been able to do it. And I agree, though, that, you know, it seemed like Thanos would use what gems he had. But then once he got almost all of them, he just went back to being brute force, you know. Fight everybody on even keel, and I was like, nah.
It's not like he couldn't. He went toe to toe, and we talked about this a little bit before the show started. You know, you set the tone earlier that he can bitch slap the Hulk, and that drives home that this dude is not to be fucked with. So,
But you know, at one point he's up standing toe to toe, or Cap is standing toe to toe with him when he should have been turned into road pizza. You know, he would have been like, bam, you know, flattened him right into the dirt. You know, there was just some deals with the power level that bothered me a little bit. But you know what? I was so caught up in the, you know, in the spectacle and the stuff and just seeing that they did with everything. I mean, hell, they showed how much of a badass Doctor Strange can be. You know, that made me so happy to see him just kicking the shit out of, you know, Thanos and having Thor going through all his stuff, showing, you know, how badass he was in order to get his new axe. And it just, everything clicked for me. That's why I said, if they want to keep, you know, let the Russo brothers do other projects, but if they have another Marvel movie that they want them to do, let them do it. They have not disappointed me in the three movies that they have done. In fact, to show you how well they have done that, Winter Soldier's number one, Civil War is number two. Black Panther is still number three, but Infinity War is number four right now in my top five MCU. Three of the top four movies are written and directed by the Russo brothers. And hats off to them for what they were able to pull off. And whereas with Ragnarok, I still gave it a thumbs up, said it, you know, because I did enjoy it. It's not my favorite Thor movie. That would be Dark World, first movie, and then Ragnarok. But that's a whole other kettle of fish that we can talk about on another episode. But this movie, damn, it was just awesome. Everything just clicked. That in that battle, the final battle, and we're in Wakanda. Oh my God, I was just, yeah, I was in a joygasming. If you want to, you know,
I was actually happy to see M'Baku showed up. Pansa, yeah. Ooh, ooh. Pansa. Yeah,
I was laughing. I was like, all right, you know. And just to see that Shuri was doing her thing with trying to get the stone out of Vision was pretty cool. And she still held her own against the, I don't know what
flame was.
That was Corvus Glaive, right?
My only major complaint about the movie is that they had to bring in all his little henchmen from, you know.
Oh, but I love the henchmen.
But well,
don't get me wrong. They continue Marvel's villain problem, but yeah. I mean, you know, they were still fun to watch. And
is the female Proxima Midnight?
Yes.
Okay, I remembered at least one of their names. That throwdown that she had with Widow and
Okoye.
Oh God, I was just like, you know, people, you all say that they can't do a Marvel female solo film or whatever. You got two characters right there, Widow and Okoye, right
that
there.
That would make for one interesting team up.
Uh huh.
That would make for one real interesting team up.
It would probably knock out Wonder Woman as one of my favorite so called female superhero movie. Mm. You know, I don't like to label it that way because I don't consider it. You know, Wonder Woman on her own holds her own with anybody.
Okay. You know?
That's what I'm trying to say. But when you have somebody...
I thought you were trying to say, like, she was secretly a man or something. And
oh, no.
She's a man, baby.
She's a mad man.
She would be the man in the relationship regardless with whoever she's dating.
Yeah,
you
ain't wrong.
But, there was... I could nitpick to a certain extent because, you know, I'm a big Infinity, you know, fan, as in I read all three miniseries. Got all the damn issues, even when they started crossovering with every damn thing in existence, went by Infinity Crusade.
I remember that.
I've actually never heard of that one.
There's a reason why. We'll just leave it at that. That was the sign that Jim Starlin needed to, you know, quit going back to the well, so to speak, for that. Suffice to say, This old fart enjoyed the movie. To me, they're still gems, not stones, but I'll take what gems are stones, so blah, 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 whatever. Tomato, tomato, apple, applesauce, you know, watermelon, you know, grits, chitlins, whatever.
Pass the grits, please.
I will. Shaboom. But good movie. Great flick. Two thumbs up, 5 out of 5. I don't think that any movie in the next year is going to top it. Maybe Deadpool 2 in a different way, and possibly even Ant-Man and Wasp might jump over it, you know, depending on what mood I'm in on watching it. But as of right now, this movie, theater was silent in that end of the movie, you know, other than a couple of kids that were crying when Groot went, you know, tits up. And my kids decided not to watch this movie this time because they had other things they were going on. But when we mentioned when people died, and my daughter was like, "Did Rocket live?" I said, "Maybe." Groot? No, Groot didn't. And then we basically told them Rocket's the only one that survived of the Guardians. So, and they were happy that, you know, their favorite Guardian managed to slip through the massacre. No complaints, really. I mean, and it would just be nitpicking on my point. So there you go.
before we continue, how many of you guys heard people in the theater sound surprised that the movie ended the way it did? Because
a lot of people.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
I sat in front of I think it was a dude and his girlfriend, and you know I'm a comics fan, you know, and I could tell when they were other comics fan because we reacted to certain things and a lot of other people stayed silent. But, you know, I inwardly, when he snapped his fingers, I went, oh, shit, they did it. And I didn't actually yell that out loud, but I was kind of like, yeah. But when we got to that point where he was sitting there and looking at the sunset and just kind of smiling and they rolled credits. The girl behind me was like, no, they can't do that. And I went, wow, somebody did not get the memo. You know, it just tickled me that, you know, this is somebody who, you know, fine, didn't read the book. That's all fine and dandy, but didn't really understand that. Yeah. You know, this is something that actually had to happen. You know, and it just tickled me no end to see the people that were like, it was like that moment, and I know, you know, Brian and Ben, you might not remember this, but when Empire Strikes Back came about, and the way that ended, and there were people like, hey, uh-huh. What? No, you can't do that. You know, it was that same thing, and you know, it was like a throwback to that, and it just tickled me no end. I remember that.
I got to see Star Wars in the theater, and granted it was a remaster, but my dad was strict on not telling me what the twist was, and I remember being very shocked. Probably on the same level, but let's move on. We'll talk about the ending more in depth in a minute. Let's move on to Brian. General thoughts.
General thoughts. I thought it was a very good telling of a story that while trying to do, you know, this big sweeping epic, almost like what Taser said, but I didn't hold it against it as much, where it's like it told the story within the confines of the universe it had established. And that's kind of what you need to do, really, overall. I mean, I knew one of the biggest sticking points for some people, probably Taser included, or at least even myself to a degree, was what was motivating Thanos. Because, yeah, the whole trying to restore universal balance is nice and all, but I prefer a crazy motherfucker who's just trying to win the hand of Lady Death.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that.
That would have been, because that's the thing, you know, and I was actually talking about this with Orion Pax of Green Lantern Corps message board today. And, you know, he said it's probably going to end, I would imagine, the way the end occurs, Marvel's the end, you know. But to have a bad guy who is just off his rocker banana sandwich and you can't reason with him, that would have been interesting but would have been more fun, I guess, to kind of just take the brakes off and let him go a little bit crazy. Josh Brolin, that is, who did a good job as Thanos, by the way. I really thought he did a good job bringing a good amount of emotional depth to the character. But apart from Thanos and the overall story, I thought what we got out of the character interactions was amazing. I really enjoyed the Doctor Strange and Tony Stark bickering going back and forth. They had a great little rapport going on. I really enjoyed Thor and Rocket's little friendship going there, and Groot getting in on that as well. That was great. And, you know, just things like that that, you know, made you realize that this isn't just, you know, this isn't just a mashup thing. This is like legitimately what you go to see an Avengers movie for. This is the characters you don't normally see interacting with each other in a way that, you know, you can't see in any other movie. And it gives credence to the idea of, okay, this is the team up or the building to the team up or whatever you want to call it. I thought it did an admirable job of that. And, you know, to that end, like I said, I thought Brolin did a great job as Thanos. I really enjoyed the lieutenants, including Ebony Maw. I thought he was great. And yeah, I mean, like I said, even though he kind of stops relying on the Infinity Stones after a certain point, it's really after the Soul Stone, I think, that he just kind of is like, well, you know, that's okay. And even maybe before that. But again, he doesn't really need them to kick ass. He just can. And that's something
like
I think
Hulk found out.
He got bitch slapped and he was too afraid to come out of his house again.
No!
It was.
No!
Oh, Hulk, you big green asshole, get out here! You know? No! Banner dug deep for them balls, too. I was proud of him. He manned up, you know? But yeah, I mean, just all of that I thought was, you set the tone early and this dude is a real fucking threat. Because no one had really bitched out the Hulk like that. And seeing that happen was like, oh, shit. Well, okay, then. And moreover, this dude wasted pretty much all that was left of Asgard. He killed everybody on that ship. I mean, Valkyrie, we didn't see her. So to be continued, I guess, or whatever the fuck happened with her.
Valkyrie and Sif are the only two whose deaths we don't have confirmed. Everybody else.
Always got his pick of the ladies now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's this dude. It drove home the point he doesn't fuck around because he wasted the Asgardians. He eliminated Xandar off screen. He bitch slapped the Hulk. And then, probably the cherry on top, he killed every fangirl's dream by murdering Idris Elba and Tom Hiddleston. And that was just. Probably broke the hearts of a million fangirls the world over. So sorry about that. But for what we got, I thought it was great. I mean, the whole thing with, again, Doctor Strange and Iron Man and Peter Parker, too. Tom Holland did a great job with Spider-Man. And the Guardians were hilarious, delivering that bit of levity to the movie that it needed. You know, they were always, like, you could tell they were coming when you started to hear Rubber Band Man starting to play in the background. It's like, okay, I think I know who's coming.
That I just started kind of like, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, okay, here they come. Here come the Guardians. So, yeah, I mean, that was great. I just thought it was a great overall film-going experience. And, yeah, the ending shook some people because they were kids. There was little obnoxious high schoolers who, Dazer, you might have missed it. I'm not sure if I told you this, but there was this group of high school kids down near the front row. And when Spider-Man started getting wiped away, this one little high school kid, you could tell he was the type who created, like, extra reactions just to get attention or whatever. Uh-huh. You know, he was whispering, like, no, no. He's, like, raising his arms to the sky and, like, protest, like, no. And the dude in front of him just goes, put your arms down. He goes, oh, shit. I had to keep from laughing my ass. I was, like, fucking hilarious. I thought it was great. And yeah, he keeps it up afterwards, like, no, how could they do that? How could they do? And then the little idiot got up and left before the post-credit scene. So, you know, fuck him. But I think, at least for me, it did a great job of adapting a story, multiple stories rather, into the confines of the universe it established. I thought it did a great job with that. I thought the characters were all operating on full cylinders. And I just thought it was a real good film-going experience, even though, like I said on Facebook, I don't think I've ever paid to be made intentionally sad before, but this is it's a first for me. It's a first. So yeah,
if I might, I want to touch on something that you said. This movie gave us a Thanos with emotional context, and I got to admit, I wasn't, and I'm still not ready for that. You know, you know, part of this, the story makes it a point that Thanos has to give up something that he loves in order to gain the last thing that he was looking for, and you know, which leads to Gamora dying. And I'm just, wait, what? And he actually showed sadness over the fact, and then, you know, he was gonna do it anyway, but, you know, he had to kill her, you know, as if he was gonna regret it. This is not my Thanos. Thanos doesn't regret eliminating somebody to achieve an end. But I get that because of, again, the universe that we're working with, and because we're not working with somebody who's a nihilist. And that's what Thanos in the comics is. He's a nihilist. Here, he's
Ra's al Ghul.
No. You know who he is? He's the in-betweener. That's who he is. He's the in-betweener. Oh, I mean, without the black and white thing going on. But yeah, he's something like that. And, you know, again, you know, with the whole two daughters thing and everything else like that. And, you know, they've given emotional context to a villain who's after universal genocide. But it's actually towards a twisted noble goal.
I had to admit, in my head after the movie, I pieced it together where it's, he's talking about how he wants to, you know, eliminate half of all life or whatever. And it's like, you know, it'll be balanced, fair. And in the back of my head, I hear Walter Sobchak from fucking Big Lebowski go, fair? The fuck do you care about fair, you fucking nihilist? And just screaming at him.
You know, and while I was sitting there, and even right now, I'm just kind of, and I get it, and it works for this movie, but, you know, again, why I'm disappointed, I'm just, no, this ain't fucking Thanos, you know, but, you know, I will say, seeing this kind of Thanos is different, so, it helps make the movie work. I can leave it alone on that, but it is something that I am still kind of rectifying in my head, you know, a Thanos who actually cares, you know, I mean, that just feels wrong.
I really,
you know,
thought when he was prompted with the murder of Gamora and she just taunts him for not loving anything, I really thought that was going to be it, full stop. Because really? He doesn't really love anything except killing people and death, you know?
Right. And then he dropped that teardrop felt like that commercial with the Indian over the pollution. That's what that shit was. And I was like, yo, what the fuck am I looking at here? You know, but oh, okay, you know, sorry for sidetracking. I just needed to get that shit out because it still feels weird, you know, but, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ben?
Okay, Brian's done talking? Okay, cool.
We're all right.
So, hey. So, under the wrong hands, this movie could have been the biggest fucking disaster ever. Like, I want to preface that right now. But given with how many main characters and how many, like, you know, all the stuff they had to introduce, like, I thought the brothers did as good of a job as you could. Like, it take a lesson, you hack Joss Whedon. They knew actually how to fucking plant jokes and not everybody sound like the same fucking
person. Hey, Joss Whedon made fucking Avengers
War. No, fuck him. He's a hack. He's resting on Buffy Laurel since 1997. Get
he made away. Avengers, you dick.
Care what he did. He's a fucking
also,
hack.
Also, Buffy and Angel are fucking unparalleled television content.
Whatever, he's a shit writer now. Anyways, my point is that this shows to me, like, this is what an Avengers film looks like, because it had its moments of levity. It, motherfucker, I haven't felt that tense in a movie in a long time, where I was just like, where are we going now, because from the fucking get-go, they set the tone with Thanos destroying the Asgardian refugees and pretty much killing half of everybody, and, like, letting you know, this guy ain't here to fucking play, and he's here to make you watch your heroes suffer, and he does, and, like, I was just tense the entire way. The one criticism I have about the movie, and this is probably going to get me some hate, but I thought the Thor hammer stuff could have been shortened a little bit. Like, I didn't hate it. I thought it was cool. Like, the end result was cool, right? Him, you know, opening the gate of the dying star. Like, that shit was awesome. But I felt that we were on there a little too long to my liking, and we could have gotten an extra scene with Cap and the Wakanda team, because that team kind of got, you know, I mean, at some point,
You think they got shortchanged?
So, a little bit, but that was going to happen to somebody. It was just a matter of who, with how many, the runtime and how many characters. It was just going to happen. That being said, I did enjoy it. I did enjoy this movie. It was really fun. It was great. It was compelling. It was fucking awesome to see my boy, Doctor Strange, be the badass that I know that he is. Like, motherfucker takes charge in the movie, threatening to kill both Spider-Man and Iron Man, and then ultimately does because he knows... Well, Tony, you have to live for us to win because he saw the future. But, like, you know, using the fucking Crimson Bands of Sidorak and, you know, doing all the cool fucking spells is like, fuck yeah, that's Doctor Strange. That was awesome. I really enjoyed the for introduction scene between the where the Guardians meet Thor. It actually kind of reminded me of when the Avengers actually met Captain America, where he's, like, on the table and they're huddled around him in the comics. It kind of reminded me of that. But, like, everybody calling Star-Lord, he's getting kind of fat. Like, look at him. Like, this guy's all muscle. Like, you hear nothing. That whole scene was great. I kind of wish they got more scenes together. Drax was great.
Drax really, like, Dave Bautista really brought it, the comedy in this movie. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
I've learned that I can make my body turn invisible If I remain quiet and perfectly still, you cannot notice me. No, you're totally right there. No, I'm not. You cannot see.
And then, you know, Mantis coming in. Hi, Drax. And, like, Drax just feels defeated. But, like, oh, like, it was great, you know, like, and I'm not gonna lie, like, that end, because I had been hyping it up to myself, like, man, I really, because I had, you know, I really hoped the end of the movie where he snaps his fingers and then that's it. I really hope they do that. But in the back of my mind, I was like, nah, they're not gonna do that. Why? That's too risky. This is fucking Disney. So when they fucking do it, I'm left with my jaw on the floor. Like they fucking did it. Like they fucking did it. And
you maniacs, you blew it up.
I'll tell you, call me a coward, call me a wimp, whatever, I don't care. The second Tom Holland starts begging for his life, like I don't wanna go, I'm like, oh fuck, you lost me. Like I start crying a little bit, not a lot, but it's just like, you know, when everybody else, like when Doc was like, peace, I'm done, peace out, good luck guys, you know, I was fine. But with Spider-Man, it was just like, oh fuck, this is a 15-year-old kid who shouldn't have even been there. He was trying to get sent home. I really liked Downey Jr.'s actual acting in this, because while he did have his typical quips, I kind of liked that he was a lot more serious in this movie, because he really, you know, he's been preparing for this moment since Avengers 1. Since that first invasion, and like he was, you know, pretty much all down to business for the most part. And that final fight with Thanos was really good, really good CGI. I actually thought he was gonna die. I was like, don't do this to me now, despite that I was waiting for this moment. The Wakandan battle scene got me, like, we're thinking of like Return of the King, the Battle of Pelennor Fields, got me that, like, let's fucking go, let's do this, let's unleash the hellhounds, let's dance. And it was awesome, even though it was a little short, but I'll take what I can get. Thor's entrance into that battle was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Just like
Bifrost Bridge ending to it and just lightning everywhere. Oh, so badass. Vision fucking dying twice. Like, for first, you know, first by the love of his life, you know, Scarlet Witch, and then fucking Thanos ripping the gem out of his hand. I'm like, why did you make me watch that twice? I didn't need to see that. And I thought there was actually great camaraderie between a lot of the groups, because a lot of these ones, like, we haven't seen Doctor Strange interact with any other Marvel heroes, or, you know, the Guardians interact with any Marvel heroes. Like, I thought that was a lot of fun. I thought they had a lot of great chemistry together. As for the Thanos thing, it's definitely different. Like, I remember telling my dad after we saw it, I was like, that's not Thanos. Like, that's not the Thanos of the comics. But yeah. I think it, for the movie, it works. I think, honestly, it went too far with the tear. If he would have just been, you know, I believe we, you know, we're all dying. The resources are dwindling, and we need to call the population of the universe. I would have been fine with that. You know, like, the best villains are the villains who believe that they're right and they can prove that they're right. I think the tear was a little too much. I kept expecting him to punch the shit out of Gamora when Gamora started taunting him. You don't give a shit about anybody. Speaking of which, that Red Skull cameo, like, that's where that fucker's been this entire time.
Yeah, that was really something. Really was something. The two at the end, at the very end. Those were
Fury and Maria.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But also, that, by the way, that was not Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. That was somebody else doing a very good impression.
No, because you could tell it wasn't him, though.
It was fucking Aaron from The Walking Dead, of all people. Mr. Spaghetti over there.
Really?
Yeah, dead serious. It was him. They even announced it, and they did an article about it.
I don't know that. I thought he did a good, perfect job of trying to mimic that voice.
Oh, yeah, because the article was, they recast one role in Infinity War, and you probably didn't even realize it. And to be fair, I didn't know who it was until I got back and started looking into it. I'm like, oh, no shit, really?
No, he sounded completely, well, I mean... You know Hugo Weaving's voice. He's done three memorable roles.
Mr. Anderson.
Exactly.
Hello.
And what's his name from Lord of the Rings and Red Skull? So,
Elrond.
You know, thank you. So he kind of has a certain canter, you know, in his voice. And his voice has a certain style and also pitch. This guy, it just was like, okay, so that's not him. But, you know, fine, whatever. I was just more or less... pleasantly surprised that they just finally addressed the issue of where the fuck Red Skull's been this whole damn time. But I will say, I liked the back and forth between Tony and Steven, because that was a battle of egos. And I
thought
that
absolutely
that,
was.
That was actually, you know, really interesting. But what I thought was a bit... Well, I don't know. I guess it's part of the movie bullshit that most movies have to do whenever you have one serious... a serious task that needs to get done, and a way to make it fail was when they were, you know, doing that big push at trying to take the gauntlet off Thanos, and what's his name name drops Gamora, and Peter Quill's like, "What did you do to Gamora?" And oh god no, don't do this now, don't do this. And sure enough, you know, fucking Peter Quill gets upset, fucks up, and you know, then they all fail and blah blah blah. And it was just, you could see it was like the hey John, what do they call that when they do that one action and that leads to like somebody getting taken out like 20 minutes later in Sentai?
Oh god, I can't remember.
Fuck, there's actually a term for it, you know. It's like a signal in the storyline that lets you know that later on this character right here isn't going to make it, you know?
Foreshadow.
Yeah, well, that would be what we would call it, but there's another term that they use. He foreshadowed fucking up just by the fact that he started reacting to Thanos's quips and, you know, the whole Gamora thing, just like, oh no, but I know that they had to do it because it kind of lengthens the movie and adds more gravitas and everything else like that.
Well, also, and it's also perfectly like in character with Star-Lord, like he's emotionally charged. I mean, look how he reacted when Ego told him, "Oh, by the way, I killed your mom." You know, he's gonna charge head first. That's just who he is.
But I just using that as the thing that fucks everything up and stops them from achieving the goal. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one here that I think we all probably saw that. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You know, go on.
But that whole fight on Titan was amazing.
He pulled down the he pulled down chunks of the moon to throw at Tony. Yeah. I had to admit that was cool.
He utilized the gauntlet well when he did actually use it. Like, he put it to good use in certain scenarios.
There were some moments that it looked really good when he did stuff.
Although I had to laugh because when they had the first scene with him in the Reality Stone, and I heard some people like gasping in the theater, I'm like, "Bitch, come on now! Like, do we really think Thanos just got done in by a little pig sticker in like the first 15 minutes? Like, come on!"
And, by the way, favorite moment of the movie is the Guardians don't know how to understand Peter Quill's directions. he does the Hulk command, and they keep going.
Well, they're just ignoring him. Yeah, that's all that was. They were just like, yeah, whatever the fuck. But you know what? Not for nothing. I totally saw. I mean, when they, you know, blew up. When Wanda blew up Vision, and not for nothing, they dropped Vision out. Vision basically got, "Oh, I got stabbed. I can't do anything. Oh, I got stabbed. I'm still pain. Oh, I've been stabbed. I'm hurt. I can't do anything. Please, somebody rescue me." That was Vision the entire movie. That was fucking pathetic. But
he was a damsel in distress.
Yeah, he was a Disney princess.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they used Wanda to blow up the gem. And I thought that, okay, that's an interesting way to get around that. But I'm like,
I thought it was good because if anything could contest the power of an Infinity Stone, I think Wanda's ties to chaos magic would probably be.
Well, her powers come from the Mind Stone.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
That's
about
how
that.
Like she was experimented on from them. So like they have a kinship. That's why she wants to fuck the Vision.
Hello. But you know, you kind of had to know that wasn't going to be successful anyway.
Cause no, he had the Time Stone. Exactly. I called that the second he stepped foot. I'm like, you can rewind it, you stupid.
Yeah, son. You know. But I mean, I thought it was interesting to watch that happen, and again, gauge the reaction of the other people in the theater, like, oh, like, really? Really?
To be fair, I didn't, because, like,
I kind of forgot about it, right? Because the time stone's the one that's used the least besides the mind and the soul. It was power in reality ones that really got the showing for this one. But like when he did, I was like, oh, that's right. He fucking has that stone.
Oh my gosh. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I had some issues, but I definitely enjoyed the movie.
One more thing, too. Shout out to giant dwarf Peter Dinklage for showing up and showing up.
Biggest role ever.
I thought a lot of us thought he was going to be like the Ebony Maw.
I thought he was going to be the Ebony Maw voiceover, or maybe Black Dwarf, you know?
But he was fucking Demetrius?
No, Etri.
Which I thought was pretty cool, you know? By the way,
go ahead.
I love that Groot's arms were used as the handle for the axe, which is totally the ultimate hammer, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah.
But you know what? Again, this shows my dissatisfaction with how they've designed Thor and Asgard in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Nidavellir, whatever the fuck. I'm not even going to bother trying to spell it. The land of the dwarves. Where most of the, or at least a lot of the dwarves live and where they make the weapons and everything else like that, that's supposed to be a different realm, not a planet that you fly to within the same universe as Asgard itself. You see what I'm saying? Because in Thor Dark World, they use the Rainbow Bridge to travel to where the elves lived and one other. But here, you could theoretically go from Earth to wherever the fuck Asgard was to where the dwarves live. Same plane of existence. And it just kind of further brings home that these are not the gods that you're looking for. As a matter of fact, these are not gods at all. And I mean, cool scene. It was funny to watch giant fucking Peter Dinklage, but also just kind of, damn it, damn it, they did it again, just kind of took away that little bit of specialness from, Thor and that whole thing. They the aliens,
everything is aliens and science and what hasn't been explained yet.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of it. I'm sorry. While I liked it, it just kind of, it was another stab in the gut for me in regards to Thor,
Hey, like Vision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we got Pepper Potts back. Yay! Got Pepper Potts back. Yay.
Yeah. But yeah, going back onto it. Movie was phenomenal. Okay, I want to see it again. It was I'm glad I saw it in the big screen because like this is a movie that was like
it demands theatrics.
Yeah, it demands it. I look forward to watching it on Blu-ray. So many good moments. Was it the greatest movie of all time? No. But was it a damn fucking fun ride that I'm never gonna forget? That left my left my jaw on the floor. And fuck yeah, it's awesome. I look forward to seeing how they solve it in 4. Like that's all I'm saying. That I look forward to whatever Soulstone bullshit they pull out.
Did you want your dad?
Yeah, I want my dad. It was nice. Awesome. Very I skip cool. work. It's like fuck y'all.
Yeah, I heard that.
in the old 10 years ago, my dad would have been upset with me, and I was like, "So did you call in? You called in sick?" And I went like, "Yeah, I'm like if they asked, and I told them at work, I told them if they asked me like where were you yesterday, I say, well, I went through a very traumatic family experience yesterday, and I told my dad, and I would think Infinity War counts as a traumatic family experience that we went through together, we'll do scores in a minute, but 10 years worth of wait, or at least, how many is that? 13, 14, 15, 5 years since Avengers.
I mean, it's prelude. I imagine Avengers, 4 will have be more bombastic or whatever.
Yeah, they've already promised it's going to be bigger, but considering that this has been in, you know, we've been waiting for this since event, because we didn't know about the Infinity Stones until, or like Thanos was going to be a player until Avengers 1 at the end of post-credits sequence. That's from 2012. That's 5 years ago. Worth the wait? Fuck yeah. Absolutely fuck yeah. It was even worth sitting through Age of Ultron again. yeah, bring on part four. Bring on Avengers 4 next year.
Bring on Captain Marvel.
Bring on Captain Marvel.
Yeah, because she's supposed to be in part two. So I'm wondering how she plays into that.
So let's go ahead and get into the post credit scene, because there's only one this time. And that is, you know, where we see the effect, at least a small effect of like that people are disappearing. And not only do Maria Hill disappears, but also Nick Fury disappears, and quintessential Sam Jackson mother, and then disappears.
That was great. That was really fucking good.
Yeah. But right before Fury goes, he hits a pager, and on that pager symbol is Captain Marvel's logo.
Which is weird though, because if everything was, you know, happening, you know, all basically, you know, vehicles and aircraft that had people that were being eliminated were going out of control and people are disappearing, why is she who you call? You know,
that will be explained in Captain Marvel coming to theaters.
Yeah, that's just kind of weird to me. You would think that the first excuse me, he would like put out the call to Cap. You know what I'm saying?
He did, Captain Marvel. Which, by the way, have you guys seen the leaked set footage of young Sam Jackson from that movie? Yeah.
Basically,
he looks like the fucking Triple X guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he gonna come up to her and be like, "You ever seen a caged lion at the zoo before? Look in their eyes." And she gets Triple X tattooed on her neck, and all of a sudden that movie takes a way different turn because Vin Diesel shows up, like real Vin Diesel.
But I would watch that.
Maybe
I think. I mean, they're basically setting up for that Captain Marvel is going to be the biggest badass we've seen yet.
Here's hope.
I mean, because she's toe-to-toe with Thanos in the comics before. Mm-hmm. So.
Really? When?
I mean, it's either her or we have to depend on, you know, the Wasp and Ant-Man and whatnot. And
Wasp to
let's
the
be real here.
I would totally
the real hero who hasn't shown his face yet, Mr. Hawkeye himself. Let's give it up for Clint Barton, everybody. he's going to save everybody. Just you watch. Just you watch.
As a matter of fact, that's probably why him and Ant-Man didn't show up here.
Well, Ant-Man and Wasp obviously have their own thing going on. We were talking a little bit before we started recording that, you know, it probably takes place right before any of this stuff happens, because they name dropped that Scott and Clint got out under the agreement their families were under house arrest or something like that.
Right.
So they keep an eye on them. So, you know, Wasp is out there with Scott at some point, but Hawkeye is a total unknown because he didn't show up at all, which I was kind of, you know, curious about, because they kept teasing it like it would be a thing. And granted, they did film this concurrently with the other Avengers movie, so he was probably going to be in that one. But as far as like him showing up, he just was a non-factor in this movie. And the absence of Ant-Man can be explained by his own movie, but Hawkeye doesn't really have a franchise to fall back on. So I was a little curious to where he ended up. But obviously, that will be explained further down the road. So
we hope.
We hope. Otherwise, I just assume he got turned into dust and is just like, well, fuck my farm, and just whoosh. And then Kate Bishop shows up and ruins everything.
Yeah, but I mean, we're going to, and you know, they're going to, because obviously we didn't get that iconic shot of like all the heroes together. We're probably going to get that in the next movie where they're all like in some kind of line, and then Cap yells out Avengers Assemble, or Tony yells out Avengers Assemble.
Oh yeah, we still haven't gotten Avengers Assemble yet, have we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, like they weren't even really the Avengers in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right.
Given
it was
Civil
very
War, like they weren't really like a team. Like, they were kind of just split off into parts who were a rag type of group of defenders. But I think they're setting up for Captain Marvel to be a big fucking deal. Like, that's why she's the post credit sequence, and they're probably gonna have her be one of the key factors as to why Thanos is going to get taken down probably. Or it's going to, I mean, that or it's going to come down to Tony because, you know, again, Doctor Strange went into the future and saw 14 million versions of it and they only win one of them. And of course, Tony is critical to that because otherwise, why would he let him live? You know, why would he betray what he said earlier in the movie?
They're playing that one close to the vest, where I'm like, what else happened? But they're not going to tell you that, obviously.
Of course.
But you know what? I'll give Cumberbatch credit. He plays that off like really, you know, like I only saw one way out of 14 million. And you know, you can see how shook he is by that little revelation. Like, I only have one way to play this shit. And
perhaps the whole Star-Lord thing was part of the plan.
Yeah.
Because everything, for a timeline to happen, everything has to happen accordingly. But we'll have to see. But yeah, final thoughts?
Damn good film.
I can't wait to see what they do with Captain Marvel. I'm actually curious to see, you know, I want to see how they pull that off there. And, I would have liked to have seen a Celestial or something, because we saw one in Guardians, and it would have been interesting to see one show up here, because what he does is, it's not just the galaxy that he affects, it's the universe, you know? So, we know that Celestials exist, we know that there's other alien races out there, it would be interesting to see something happen, and Thanos has still got the interesting to note, when he shows up on that planet with the sun, with the sunset and everything, notice the gauntlet looked like it had been kind of smelted a bit.
Yeah, it looked like it had been burst almost from the energy or whatever.
Exactly. Which
that was the other thing, too, where it's like, the dwarf constructed him the gauntlet? Like, really? Isn't it just... I thought it was just one of those things that just was out there, you know?
No, yeah, well, considering I'll...
Go ahead.
He probably... Well, because here's the thing. Because he says, I'll do it myself. And because we don't know how long that forge has been out, because Thor's been doing whatsoever. That could have been... Because he gets the call at the end of Age of Ultron, which presumably was 2 years ago before this movie. That scene was probably on the planet, on that whatever ship, whatever it is, all lit up. And then what we're seeing is in years of, as it's been in decay. I'm like, where the fuck have you been, Thor?
That's okay, probably fair enough. But yeah, no, I would like to see, you know, something cosmic, you know, show up in reaction to, you know, what's going on. You know, give us a Watcher, man. Come on, give us a Watcher.
If the Watcher's not good, doesn't the Watcher show up for things of galactic significance? Why didn't he show up for the fucking Soul Stone thing, man?
Good point, actually. Very good point.
Because that would have been a moment where he's like, I'm Watu, the Watcher. And Thanos
because
like,
they haven't established the Watchers as that in the movies.
Yeah, they really should. I mean, they kind of have.
No, they showed up in passing. There was more of like a wink at the camera than necessarily
I don't care, I'm counting it.
How comfortable is it to have a dude who drops in and says, I'm Watu, the Watcher. I record events of galactic significance. You are about to do such and such and so-and-so. I must warn you from this path, but I can only observe. And da-da-da. You know, I'll throw in a few lines of just expository shit, because it's pretty much what Watu is anyway. He's all exposition. You know, he's just kind of like, tells you what's going on. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, thanks. You know, proceed as you were, kind of. So.
Oh, and last before I pass it on, is this going to affect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Because he used the fucking Infinity Gauntlet, all the stones, wipes them all out. They're done.
No, the show is still going on. They're not done. It's not over.
No, has the season finale aired already?
No.
No.
They're going to all turn to dust. Watch. They're going to all fucking turn to dust. I'm going to laugh at all
you
of
know,
you.
You know, if that actually happens... I'm coming to visit you. I'm letting you know that now because I know where you live. You live in Arizona somewhere, and I will come and eat up all your refried beans.
No, not my beans.
And your tacos, damn it. Damn you!
And I hope there's a shot of the defenders and like something, and then like all of them are standing together, and only Danny Rand disappears. Only him. John Boy, fun thoughts.
Fuck you with the Iron Fist joke. Anyway, good movie. Really not much I can say other than, you know, thumbs up. It's in the top five for me. And that's impressive. I mean, I'm not saying top three because, you know, it was just a little bit low because, you know, a lot of characters, a lot of stuff, but they handled it good. And they pulled Thanos off in a way that I thought they would. And because I know they weren't going to be able to do, Mistress Death, I do this for you, because people would be like, what the fuck is this problem?
I thought that, I first thought that's what that Gamora scene was going to be, where it's like the little girl, yeah. And I'm just like, oh man.
Actually, yeah, I thought that too, and then it just ended up being her. I was like, oh fuck, man.
Disappointed!
Really?
Ah, well. But it was a good movie. Two thumbs up, 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10. They made the reason why I'm rating it so high is because Doctor Strange was a badass. It showed how badass he can be. Thor was a badass. Most of the people that I disliked from Thor Ragnarok, I will consider dead. Thanos wipes them out. You know.
Hulk is a bitch. Hulk is a big green bitch. Bitch, Hulk, bitch. Bitch, bitch, bitch. And I don't like using that word.
One of my favorite things was when Banner had the Hulk armor. He's running along. He trips, and Okoye just looks at him like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I saw that look. That was funny.
That was hilarious. He's like, I should have gotten Rick Grimes for this shit, bitch.
Brian's getting some in the background.
I just watched the movie. I'm going to work my resume at the end.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's happening? I don't
want to.
I found myself fading away. I apologize.
Yes. That, yeah, sorry. I'm sure that's what you were doing. Fading.
Yeah, absolutely.
Final thoughts. Right. I thought it was an expertly done Marvel movie. And that is a brand and that is a thing that you all know what that means. So I don't think I need to go into more elaboration than that. If you know what a Marvel movie is, this was a Marvel movie at its peak, I think. It is absolutely. One of the best out there. It's still not my best, you know, that still hasn't been cracked, but you know, it is still one of the finer offerings, and probably, you know, call Age of Ultron, call Cap Civil War, Avengers 2.5. This is probably the next closest to topping the original Avengers, where it's just like, you know, it is sort of building on the promise of the first Avengers movie. It has all those character interactions woven in, and it hasn't seen a full-fledged team up yet, but it's building to that, and it's setting the groundwork, and it knows what it wants to do. And, you know, it delivers on basically what it promises. And it doesn't promise the exact same thing, you know, that you've read in the books, but it does promise a version of that, and it is the best version of that. And I think that should just be commended. So, if I had to put a final score on it, I'd probably go 4.5 out of 5. You know, they're really the main hang up for me is still coming back around to the character of Thanos and his mission, but that's comic book nitpicky stuff, you know, and that can be overlooked in the service of telling the story that the movie told and sort of getting us to the next part, which will be played out in Wasp and Ant-Man and Captain Marvel and finally Avengers 4, whatever that is. You know, so that being said, it's nearly perfect. Actually, I'd say it's pretty. Actually, it is pretty perfect. I don't know why I might have to settle, give it 5 out of 5. Honestly, I can't think of much that was wrong with it outside of me being not happy that it wasn't the same thing as the comic. But again, that's not something I really want to hold against it. So yeah, I think I'll give it 5 out of 5. It was a very, very good movie. It was not a full fledged team up movie as of yet, but it's getting to that. You know, and I dug it all the way through, honestly. So yeah, I'll give it 5 out of 5 and just leave it at that. So.
I guess if I had to give it a Warriors ranking, I'd probably give it maybe a 4.1 out of 5. You know, it's definitely up there. It definitely passes, you know, overpasses Age of Ultron. I think
I mean, a lot of solo movies past Age of Ultron.
That is true. That is true. I don't know if this cracks the top five. I don't think this cracks my top five, though. But it's definitely in the top 10. I think I might put it at either 6 or 7. I'm not really sure. Either 6 or 7. But definitely top 10, but not in the top 5. Just, you know.
We're going to have to do a top whatever number list after the whole phase is done and, like, you know, everything's kind of settled.
Oh, that's,
you know,
cool. We're going to have to. But you know what? Let me pose this question. We saw where all of the different stones come from. So was there ever any answer as to why Thanos gave Loki the stone that he gave him and then took it back?
Well, I mean, he gave it to Loki so he could lead the charge on Earth. It was a tool of conquest, and Loki was in the making of being a general, I guess. As far as, like, why specifically that one, you know, I don't entirely know. I think it's just maybe it's the
one
he had.
Two gems.
You know?
Yeah. He had two.
Yeah, the Tesseract was on Earth. He stole that from Earth.
Yeah,
he only
had... No, I get that, but I mean, the thing that he put
stone.
In the septum. Yeah, I'm real. Why would you do that? If that's something that you were actually looking for, why would you?
He probably didn't think Loki had no chance of losing it, because at the time, like, fucking Earth, what the fuck they're gonna do? You're gonna roll over them, and I'll get it right back. So.
I mean, it's like the whole theory of, like, having generals is that you don't have to dirty your hands directly in shit like that. And that was kind of the whole thing. And then you heard him say, fine, I'll do it myself. And he kind of gets his hands dirty, digs in. And, you know, he was trying to avoid that, and I'm not entirely sure why. But you see, like, not even just in that, but remember, in Guardians of the Galaxy, he pretty much lets Ronan just kind of walk off with the stone and be like, you will regret this, and just sort of lets it hang there for a minute. So, you know, the fact that he loaned that out to Loki for the promise of conquest is one thing. You know, I just think that it's like Iggy said, you know, it's the fact that Earth surprised him, even in the post-credit scene where the other is like, you know, they are greater than we expected, and to go against them would be to court death. Which, why would you throw that in if he wasn't going to actually court death? I feel like that's kind
of a
letdown.
That was a wink. All right, they had that was also over 5 years ago. Things change, different directors. That was a wink to us that anything that to challenge him is to court death, and he smiles. Like, that's
still should have been fucking death. That's all I'm saying. All
right, but let's bring this home. Let's bring this home. I think we've said a lot on this podcast.
We have. There's a lot to be said.
Yes. Plug our fucking social media.
Hey, yeah, sure. We're on the social medias, kids. We are in all the places you can subscribe to get news. We are an aggregator, which means, as Taser says, we steal from everybody and give you the good
steal!
Shit. I said steal. Okay. We're on Facebook at The Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Like us there. You'll get our news feed. Me, Taser, and John do a good job of keeping that up to date. We're also over on the Twitter sphere at Warriors 3 PCast. That's WARRIORZ, the number 3 PCAST. I'm really the only one doing anything on Twitter, and even I've kind of fallen off as of late, but I'm getting back into it now. So, you know. Hop on over if you want. Follow us, like us, subscribe to us. We're also over on iTunes. Everything gets updated there. So subscribe to us there to get consistent updates on, you know, when the episodes come in. And we're also over on WordPress at thewarriors3.wordpress.com. So you can just check that website out. That's our most direct way to get the, to get our clips. That's the hosting site. So by all means, follow us, like us, subscribe to us. We want to be in your life. We want to make an honest comic book fan out of you. We want to be the kind of comic book fan you take home to mom and just sort of be like, mom, this is the one, you know, this is the one who gives me everything I need and none of the bullshit, because
every 2 weeks other...
And new episodes every 2 weeks. Next week we'll be back to basics,
listen to what he said, people. He says new episodes every 2 weeks, and then he says next week you're giving I'm finishing the fucking show. You're in the fucking bench. Get down.
Oh, my God.
New episodes every 2 weeks. In 2 weeks when we come back, we'll be doing a regular show. Tune in for the end of the month. We'll be doing these fuckers will be doing a Deadpool 2 show, because by the time that we actually do that show, I will be on vacation in Chicago. So
Slacker!
I will be on that show. So these fuckers are going to be on that show. I'm giving them permission to do that. Because I'll get my
thoughts. We don't need no permission, man. We take what we want.
Anyways, so look forward to that. Look forward to our Ant-Man Wasp review as well. And look forward to our regular scheduled shows at the year. San Diego Comic-Con's right around the corner, so that means a lot of news. Or a lot of
holy shit!
Yeah, exactly. It's right around the corner. Taser, because I know you always like to interrupt me before I close it, so what's your last words before we leave?
I still love Ming-Na Wen. She's tasty.
Dude, same. Fucking Chloe Bennett, man. Chloe Bennett.
Chloe Bennett can sweep up after, but Ming-Na Wen.
I'll take her for the time being if you don't want her right off the start.
Not a problem. Though. You could have her all night. I'll be resting nice and easy with Ming-Na Wen.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., only 3 episodes left until the season finale. Check it out. It's a great little show. Deserves your time and your award.
Hey, there was no Inhumans. Where were the Inhumans? I want to
I think they got turned to dust, and everyone's kind of like, I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? Like, yeah, I think we're all okay with that. Okay, then, moving right along. Maybe they'll show up in the announced Eternals movie or something.
Yay! Eternals! Yay!
Okay, I think that's about it.
We lost John.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Okay, yeah. We hope you enjoyed our review for Infinity War. And remember, all your heroes died, and they're not coming back.
Everything hurts. You're all dying. The universe is coming to an end.
You know what? Speaking of that, I liked how they did the end credits where it was just the black background with the white lettering. Nothing special. No happiness whatsoever. Just bleak.
Thanos will return in...
Oh, yeah. That actually was funny. That did make you smile.
And now, enjoy the sound of silence. Have a good night, everybody.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. The halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light, split the night and touched the sound of silence.